We also at the Dayton Foundation are really involved with helping people plan their legacy. What does it look like after they're gone, and what sort of an impact do they want to make on the community?
Welcome, and thank you for listening to the NextGen podcast, a conversational series with members from Energen Wealth Partners at UBS. With an understanding of the family dynamics that can accompany multi-generational wealth, we are experienced in working with you and your family to develop a strategic plan to guide your decisions. Our approach helps provide education across generations to help define and support your long-term vision for your wealth.
Hello, and thank you for joining us today. I'm Brandi Rochelle, a certified financial planner and advisor with Energen Wealth Partners here at UBS Financial Services. Our office is located in Dayton, Ohio, and you can reach us at energen@ubs.com. I'm joined by a very special guest today, Michelle Lovely, the Senior Vice President of Development and Donor Services at the Dayton Foundation. Michelle, it's wonderful to have you here today.
Thanks for having me.
So today we're diving into the fascinating world of philanthropy and how the Dayton Foundation has been making a difference for over a century. Michelle, let's start with the basics. What exactly is the Dayton Foundation?
The Dayton Foundation is a regional community foundation. So when you look across the United States, there's over 800 of them, and we have one right here in Dayton, Ohio, actually one of the larger community foundations. We're a public charity, which is different than a private foundation or, you know, the corporate foundations that are usually set up by one family or one corporation. We're actually set up by and for the public. So we have over 4,000 donors, and we're just a family of funds that help the community.
Can you tell us about the kind of impact that the Dayton Foundation has had on the community?
Sure. So we've been around, like as you said, over 100 years. So we're going to be here for the long haul. We're actually our 103rd year. We were founded in 1921. And so when you look at the community impact, I think a lot of people really think of us the last several years because that's their experience with the tornadoes, the mass shooting, COVID. We really are known for being able to set up funds that everyone can give to help these causes around the community. I think we're also known for when you look at the Dayton Foundation initiatives. So a lot of times Mike Parks, our president, is really well known for being able to convene people together. So it oftentimes he's bringing together people from the public sector along with nonprofits and, you know, individual philanthropists, just getting people, the right people in the room to talk about things that are going on in the community and how we can make an impact with that. And so a lot of our discretionary funding goes out to nonprofits in the area, but a portion of that is also for initiative work that we do. And so things like if you think of Koreans to Classroom, that was sort of an initiative that started at the Dayton Foundation around the fact that they knew teachers were spending a lot of money in their classrooms and how could we make a difference with that. And so today when you look, there's things like digital equity and just there's all different initiatives. Traumatic brain injury is an initiative we're working on right now. Anything that we look at that we see there's not collectively, we don't try to, you know, step on any other toes or things that are going on. We really try to look at things that are not being addressed and then try to bring people in the room to say, how can we make a difference in that area? So initiative work in helping our community is really important to us. And then also just working together with our fund holders, we have what are called partners in giving. So our fund holders oftentimes will join together with us and we have a project that we're funding, a nonprofit maybe that's applied for funding, and we approve that funding, then we will bring together the rest of our donors as partners in giving to say, hey, this is what we funded. If you're interested, here's how you could help make a difference.
So you mentioned nonprofits. How do you help provide for those or with those?
We have several ways we help nonprofits. So the first way, probably most well known, is through our discretionary grant process. So nonprofits, if anyone listening is on a board, they can go to our website under the For Nonprofit section, and it'll tell them what grants are available and how they can apply for funding from the Dayton Foundation. And so that funding is left by donors who have said, I don't want to rule from the grave, Dayton Foundation. I want you to decide when I'm gone what's the highest and best use for these funds. So we have about $3 million a year that's given out for this discretionary grants that we award in the community and our initiative work. So that's one way we help nonprofits. The other way is that a lot of nonprofits need help with their endowments. So sometimes we're that back room for them. So we're helping manage the investments. We don't manage assets ourselves. We have over 70 different investment advisors that we partner with. And the nonprofits can choose from that list of who they want to manage the assets. But we help them by making sure they have a good investment policy in place, that the managers that they're working with are managing the assets according to that investment policy. And so we're really just that oversight for them, since they have that fiduciary responsibility as a nonprofit of overseeing those funds. We help with that. And then the third way we help is really just giving nonprofits any advice that they may need. So if they're trying to start a planned giving program or they're maybe doing a capital campaign, we will come in and give them advice, but then also connect them with partners who can help them.
That's a great service you provide. How do you collaborate with financial advisors?
So we really view our financial advisor partners as the best resource that our community has. And so we're talking attorneys, CPAs, financial advisors like yourself, anyone that's in our community that are helping our donors look at their current giving or their future giving. We don't cold call at the Dayton Foundation. You're not going to see us picking up the phone and calling someone. We really work through our advisor partners who have those trusted relationships, and we try to bring value to them. So we help educate them on charitable giving and philanthropy and maybe the trends that are going on in that area so that they don't have to. They have a lot of other things that they're experts and really, you know, have a lot that they need to know. So we try to be really deep on the charitable side and to be a resource to those advisors so that if they need illustrations for their donors or they just want to run a situation past us and say, what do you think? I'm thinking this. We can be a resource for those financial advisors so that they can help their clients.
How do you help help individuals with their current giving?
I always say when we're meeting with a client, the first thing we start talking about is how are you giving today? Because even if they're doing a planned gift, you know, something as part of their estate, we always want to start by saying, tell us about what you're passionate about. What are you giving to today? Where's your heart? And so there's lots of ways that we can help, either through providing advice. If they're not sure, maybe they really want to know what's going on in our community in terms of feeding the hungry. Who's helping to do that? We can be a resource to help them, you know, what nonprofits have projects going on, what they could help with, how they can get involved. That's one way that we help. But we always are helping look also at tax-wise ways, how they can give either more tax efficiently or just more efficiently in general. So one of the ways is through, we have a product designated IRA fund. So instead of doing a qualified charitable distribution with through their advisor to a charity and having to contact the advisor every time, we have a product where they can do one grant to the Dayton or one qualified charitable distribution to the Dayton Foundation. And then we will send out grants throughout the year or even through multiple years to the charities that they care about. And so it's one time that they're working with their financial advisor, and then we sort of take it from there. And so it's just a little bit more convenient a lot of times for the donors. It does take a little bit of planning because they have to think ahead to say, you know, what are the things that I've given to that I can plan on that I know I want to give to in that year. And then the other way that we help when we look at donor advised funds for current giving, there's a lot of impact that a donor advised fund can make to help a donor give more tax efficiently or more just, you know, more effectively. So one thing I think I'm really proud of at the Dayton Foundation is that we don't have just one type of donor advised fund. Like a lot of places, we have a whole suite of donor advised funds. So anyone can be a philanthropist through our free charitable checking account because there's literally no minimum balance and the grants can be as small as $15 that they send out. So there aren't many places around the country that have free donor advised funds. And so I love that we offer that to our donors, that groups of people can open that type of a fund as well if they have an initiative that they're raising money around. One of my favorite stories with that is there was a group of students at Oakwood that said, hey, we're in line at the grocery store and saw people or saw the person in front of them putting things away that they couldn't afford. And one of those were feminine products. And so this daughter was talking to her mom about it and they ended up starting a fund. It's called FemAid. And they've raised tons of money to help buy feminine products for the Dayton area community for individuals who maybe wouldn't have been able to afford that. So that's a way through our free product that people can come together to really make a difference individually. individually people can open them if they want to bundle or bunch their donations. So, you know, a lot of people can't itemize anymore on their tax return because that level has really moved up. And so it's a way that you can forward load. And I always call it like a little charitable piggy bank that's just sort of sitting there, and they can spend money out of it. And when it runs out, they just refill it again. So it might be a year or two of giving that they bunch or bundle into 1 year so that they can get above the standard deduction, and then they can pay it out over time and then reload it. So again, that product, the free product. But then once we do have some donors that are starting to carry a balance and they say, hey, we want to invest this, we have that, they can do that as well. And then we also have on the higher end of alternative to private family foundations. So there's a lot of people who think that they want to start a private foundation, and they may. That might be the right solution for them, but I always encourage them to look at our option first. Because if there's some things we can't do, but a lot of things that we can do within that product. And so instead of when you start a private foundation, you're starting a company, right? You have a tax return. You have to make sure you're following all the IRS guidelines. A lot of times you have an attorney involved. It's expensive. And so we have an alternative that people can use that is a lot of times a really great product for them. And we require $250,000 on that product, but it really is a great way to, we let them have their own face. They can have their own website. They can have their own logos. You know, it really is a way that they can look on the outside. They can run their own grant cycles. It looks and appears like their own private foundation, but we're the back room sort of doing the tax returns, you know, doing all of the operational things to let them just do what they want to do, which is, you know, help our community.
Well, how does the Dayton Foundation support education?
So one of the things I also always say is if you have a graduating senior or you know one, they should go to our website. We open our website in December and it closes in March. So right now we're in the cycle where we're reviewing all of the scholarships. But we gave out over 1,500 scholarships last year to the area, to graduating seniors. And then also we really have realized with the rising cost of education that we have now it's a continuation scholarship. So kids that are in their second, third, fourth years, they can apply for that scholarship. And there's some scholarships out there that are not just for first year students. And then we also have some scholarships that are renewable when they apply as a freshman. But definitely our website, it's called Scholarship Connect. And it's on the Dayton Foundation's website. I would highly, highly recommend checking that out if you have a senior next year. You know, starting in December is when they can go out there and look. And then again, it closes in March when we start reviewing and selecting students. But
that's great to know.
I love because the scholarships at the Dayton Foundation, we have one. My brother passed away when he was 25, and we have a scholarship that is in memory of him. So you can set up the criteria to be exactly like the person that you are doing the fund in memory of. So he was a basketball player. He got good grades. He was involved in the community. I mean, those are things that we look for in a student. So you can do that. You can look for the student that sort of emulates the characteristics of the person that you're doing this in memory of. And then you can also be involved in the selection. So a lot of times, if you're doing it other places, you may not be on that selection committee, but we do, as long as we follow the IRS guidelines, but there have to be other people on the committee with you. But it's great because you can be involved in seeing that student and getting to help select a recipient.
That's amazing. So it can be as personalized as you would like it to be.
Yes.
That's great. So let's talk long-term impact. How do designated funds come into play?
So we talked a little bit about current giving. We also at the Dayton Foundation are really involved with helping people plan their legacy. What does it look like after they're gone, and what sort of an impact do they want to make on the community? And so we help set up funds. Designated funds are one of those type of funds. Designated funds allow someone to say, after I'm gone, I want to make sure that the organizations that I was supporting during my lifetime continue to receive an annual grant from me or from my fund. So the Dayton Foundation, we help put in place a document that says, upon my passing, I'm, you know, leaving money to this fund. And then Dayton Foundation, I want you to send a grant to my church or synagogue, maybe it's Dayton Children's, maybe it's the Girl Scouts, you know, whatever organizations they cared about, we will send a grant then from their fund. And every year for as long as they want us to do that. So it could be in perpetuity, it could be a term of years, but we will do that for them. And so that's part of that legacy planning. Some people do scholarships as part of a legacy plan. Some people say, like I said before, Dayton Foundation, I want you to decide. And it can be wide open, you know, for things like COVID and tornadoes and all of those things. Or it can be limited where they say, we want you to award it, but we only want it to be for the arts, or we only want it to be for veterans. Whatever it is that they, again, is in their heart, we help create a fund that would be able to do that for them when they're gone. And so, and then the other option that some people do is a family legacy plan. So maybe a like the private foundation that we talked about, or a donor advised fund where their kids are advising and becoming part of carrying on that next generation of philanthropy on and carrying it forward. So there's all kinds of funds and things that they can do, but designated funds are a great way to continue that impact that they're making while they're alive, so that nonprofit doesn't have a cliff, you know, after they're gone, or get a really large gift at one time, but it allows that sustainable amount coming year over year.
That's a great gift. Well, this has been enlightening, Michelle. Thank you for sharing the Dayton Foundation's incredible work. We are fortunate for all that you guys do for us and our community. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with the listeners?
No, just if anyone wants help with any of this, we're happy to help. DaytonFoundation.org. I'm happy to meet with anyone or talk with anyone. It's Michelle Lovely, and on the website will be all my contact information.
Well, thank you again for being here with us, Michelle. Until next time, keep giving and helping make an impact in your community.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Next Gen Podcast. To learn more about our team and to join our exclusive educational events throughout the year, check out our website at advisors.ubs.com/Energen. If you have any suggestions on episodes you'd like to hear, let us know by emailing us at energen@ubs.com. And if you liked this episode, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify to hear more.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.